Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, February 5th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. The U.S. Census Bureau is tasked with gathering important demographic data on who runs businesses across the country. But the data can be pretty vague, including for some demographic groups common to our area.
And when we looked very specifically for Laotian, Cambodian, Hmong, we saw there was just a dash.
A Fresno-based organization is trying to change that by gathering more data on businesses run by members of the Southeast Asian community. We'll learn more in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that California can use new maps approved by voters in last November's special election. The new maps are largely considered favorable to Democrats in this year's midterm elections. The country's highest court rejected a last-ditch plea from California Republicans to block the maps. The effort was spearheaded in part by Fresno Assemblymember David Tongipa. No Supreme Court justices dissented from the brief ruling. The justices had previously allowed a Republican-friendly map to be used in Texas. The city of Porterville is mourning the loss of three people who died in a house fire early on Wednesday. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports this is the second deadly house fire in the city in the past few months.
The fire broke out in a two-story home in the southeastern part of the city. Fire engulfed both floors, according to firefighters. Two people managed to make it out safely, but crews found an adult woman and two children inside. Their identities have not been revealed, and fire investigators say they are still looking into what caused the fire. In December, a family of five was also killed in a fire. Their RV in a different part of the city caught fire while they slept. The victims in that fire were a father and his four children. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
A naturalization ceremony in Fresno to swear in new U.S. citizens was abruptly canceled a few weeks ago. As KVPR's Carrie Klein reports, many waiting for citizenship were thrown into confusion.
The naturalization ceremony is the final step before becoming a U.S. citizen. And the cancellation notice came from the federal government less than a day before the ceremony scheduled for late last month. Gregorio Matias is with CBDIO, a nonprofit that serves indigenous Mexicans in the San Joaquin Valley. He knows of around 10 people affected, but there were likely more.
Usually the events are big. I would say more than 60 people around that.
U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services told KVPR the ceremony was canceled due to staffing constraints, and it's been rescheduled for later this month. Still, Matias says,
what I'm hearing is a lot of fear, a lot of precautions when going out.
That stems from confusion about the risk of deportation in light of heightened immigration enforcement around the country. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein.
With the Super Bowl this weekend, millions of Americans will place bets on the big game. But a new study finds it is not just adults gambling on sports. Research from Common Sense Media shows more than a third of 11 to 17-year-old boys have gambled in the past year, and nearly 6 in 10 see gambling ads while watching live or streaming sports. Common Sense Media CEO Jim Steyer says Super Bowl week highlights the issue.
We're in Super Bowl week, and so in the run-up to the Super Bowl, the amount of gambling advertising and gambling embedded in the actual pre-Super Bowl programming is pretty disgusting. You have the announcers talking about it. You have former players talking about that.
The study found boys who watch gambling content online spend more than twice as much on gambling as those who don't. Steyer recommends parents talk with their kids about the risks of gambling and set clear household rules about online spending.
If you start your day with Central Valley Daily and are looking for a companion program in the afternoon, there's All Things Considered. Hi, I'm Sarith Hawk. Each weekday afternoon, I'm on KVPR's broadcast, bringing you the day's local and national news. Join me for All Things Considered, weekdays from 3:30 to 6 on KVPR. You can also stream us online at kvpr.org, through your smart speaker, and on the KVPR app.
And now to our main story. Fresno has a rich Southeast Asian community, many of whom are business owners. And now, a pilot research study aims to better understand their needs. That's because census data has been surprisingly lacking in this area. Access Plus Capital is spearheading this study, and they're a Fresno-based lending group known as a CDFI, or Community Development Financial Institution, kind of like a local bank or credit union. Basically, their goal is to help people in underserved communities who may not traditionally qualify for loans at bigger banks. The hope is that data from this study will help better serve Southeast Asian business owners and give them a seat at the table with the Fresno business community. Today, I'm speaking with Tate Hill, who's the CEO of Access Plus Capital, and he starts our conversation by explaining the link between his organization and this new study.
So Access Plus Capital started as a program that focused primarily to service and support refugee Southeast Asian farmers that were moving into the greater Fresno area some almost 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And our genesis as an organization was serving Southeast Asian businesses. And in more recent years, we've recognized and seen that there is a gap in the available data to really hone in on the needs of targeted communities, and particularly Southeast Asian businesses. If you look just broadly around Asian businesses, including Japanese, Chinese, so forth, the numbers bode to economic success, availability and growth of businesses, higher incomes. But when you start to segregate that data, mm-hmm. You see that Southeast Asian communities are not always faring as well. And mm-hmm. so what we found in many cases, there was not business-related data to the Southeast Asian community very specifically, and therefore they have not always been targeted in business service programs and outreach and programs that serve to address that gap and under service and undercapitalized or underinvested communities. And so we said, you know what, let's develop that information.
I want to talk about specifically what that's going to look like as you gather that info, but I'm wondering if you can first speak to why this information's not already being gathered by the U.S. Census Bureau. They're the organization that every 10 years sends surveys to residents to gather demographic data. So, yeah, more about the gap you're trying to fill.
Yeah, and those were the places that we went first to try to find the information. The census does a survey of business owners on every couple of years. And when we looked very specifically for Laotian, Cambodian, Hmong, we saw there was just a dash, which meant that there wasn't sufficient data for them to make national or even regional data calculations. Mm-hmm. And so what we've heard from community in many cases, they have not always participated in those kinds of surveys. Just, you know, comfort about sharing their information, you know, how their information is requested. And so our approach has taken a very comprehensive community engagement model to help us gather the information that we're looking for.
I want to drill down into the makeup of the Southeast Asian community here in the county a little bit, because I understand that the city of Fresno has the second largest population of Hmong residents in the country.
Correct.
What other nationalities are represented here that you're hoping to capture in this study?
Yeah, so we're hoping to have a representative count of individuals, including Hmong, Laotian, Cambodian, Vietnamese, Filipino, Mayan, or Khmer, and some other populations. And so we're really trying to make sure we have a good representation of all Southeast Asian ethnicities in the region, but understanding that Hmong is the largest, but also we have a very large Filipino population too. And we wanted to make sure comprehensively, how do we service Southeast Asian businesses, understand their needs as a business owner, the capital gaps that they have. And we know that there's a lot of connectivity between the Southeast Asian countries and the populations here in this region. And so we said, let's look at it comprehensively versus just one particular group.
And the region that the study will be conducted in, remind me exactly where that is.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Fresno. Okay. We know we have a good concentration of Southeast Asian communities. And we also have a number of partners that can help us here in Fresno County be able to reach and engage the community.
Let's talk logistics. Walk me through the process of how you're going to gather the information and specifically what kind of data you're hoping to collect.
Yeah, so we're going to be launching the actual survey taking here shortly in the next several weeks. And a big part of it is just initially just communicating and building trust in community. And I think that becomes especially important right now when there are concerns about privacy, where information and data is being shared, who's it being shared with, and then how we're going to use that information. So a big part of the process is really just building trust, which we believe is part of the reason why the data has not been collected in the past. The other then parts of that is, you know, leveraging trusted messengers within those ethnic communities to help us collect that information. Part of it is kind of census oriented, like just who, what,
who's
when,
there.
Where.
Yeah.
And that we believe is really important, but also to be able to get some perspective questions around, are they planning to grow? How are they planning to grow? What kind of capital needs do they have? Who do they go to when they need support and information? And so our hope is not just as Access Plus Capital or Scale Fresno, but this will be information that any entity, agency, governmental organization that is looking to support and lift up and elevate Southeast Asian businesses, that they will be better informed in how to do that.
And is the hope that one day, perhaps the information you gather and insights you gather, that Southeast Asian business owners might have more of a voice in regional planning?
We hope. That's our plan. And again, it creates an opportunity to couple the anecdotal information that we know and people are experiencing to put some data to it. And we know when the data is missing, that influences policies, influences programming, and influences how investments are made. And so we want to empower and equip those businesses and the organizations that work with them to have the information that they need to properly advocate and support their community.
And any hopes for when the study will be wrapped up?
So our plan is that we'll be finished by about June. And then from there, it's about sharing the survey, sharing the outcomes of the focus groups, and really helping to tell the story and, you know, being able to use it as a tool in our arsenal to engage small businesses and policymakers, our banking community, saying these are the needs that the small business community has said that they had, and we want to make sure that you understand that, and then what are you going to do about that, right? And so that's always the big thing. After you have information, what do you then do with that information? And so we're committed as an organization and as a network to really use that information, and we believe that once others have that, they will too.
Tate Hill, CEO of Access Plus Capital, thank you so much for coming to the studios.
Thank you.
And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.